Hey everyone, and welcome to Unconventional Wellness Radio, a powerful and inspiring podcast set to revolutionize and disrupt healthcare. It's time to put you in the driver's seat and be the force of change necessary for the lifestyle you've always wanted. All right. Hey, everybody. This is Frank. As you may be aware of, you are listening into Unconventional Wellness Radio. We're also going to go ahead and live broadcast this to Facebook Live because we want to make sure that you can see this strapping man right here. His name is Jim Rohr. He is a licensed and practicing acupuncturist. He actually is also, besides that, he's also a love coach. He's an author and a fellow podcaster. And what I had the pleasure of being able to meet Jim during our incentive trip with doTERRA Essential Oils down in Puerto Vallarta. Every time I say that, by the way, I got to go, lovely Puerto Vallarta. Like we're on a 90s game show or something like that. We're playing like Press Your Luck because they always gave out that four-night, five-day stay in lovely Puerto Vallarta. But anyway, I met Jim. We actually I had the opportunity to play a lot of volleyball, and then we just got to chatting about what I'm calling unconventional wellness and what he's been doing since 05. And sort of like just, you know, you become like the best of friends, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, by the way, I also do this for a living. And so we had that a really great conversation and be able to get to know one another much better and figuring out what we're doing to really help people get the health that they deserve. And so he started working in integrative health back in 05 with some health centers in Chicago as well as Miami Beach. But currently he's in private practice in Brooklyn. And over the last few years, he's actually expanded his online wellness presence to coaching and then also helping single women working in healthcare to actually find individuals that they can actually attract as amazing partners, which is really, really cool that he's doing that. So he also has a book. It's called Unlearning Stress, and his podcast is called Pleasure Points, and we'll talk about his podcast, here as we continue with the podcast. But thank you so much, Jim, for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
So the reason why, guys, for this podcast, I wanted to bring Jim on is because, you know, we've been talking about the core four, and we've been talking about what I definitely believe and a lot of other integrative health providers believe is the things that we can be doing on a daily basis in order to improve our health. And so, you know, it's all wonderful and well and good that, you know, we might be using essential oils or we might be using, like, say, hemp oil, or we might be using this, we might be using that. But the bottom line is that there is no magic bullet. Our body is specifically made to have multiple things come into it as a dynamic environment in order to improve our health. And so, you know, we're talking about great diet, great movement, getting great sleep, reducing your stress, and removing the toxins out of your life. And so I wanted to bring on Jim because as a licensed acupuncturist, he brings a special skill set that a lot of you might be able to use in order to be able to benefit your wellness. And so, Jim, if I could, first thing I'd like to talk about is sort of like, what is this concept of acupuncture? And then also, how does it sort of relate to Eastern medicine? And then how can we use it here in the United States especially?
Sure. So acupuncture is part of what we call Eastern medicine or Chinese medicine. And together with herbs and qigong, those are kind of the main pillars of the ancient medicine. So it's the main form of healthcare that they've used for thousands of years to treat an entire nation of people. But when we're talking about acupuncture specifically, because acupuncture has become really popular in the U.S., it translates easier. It photographs well. It shows up on TV. People are used to seeing acupuncture now. Whereas the Chinese herbs, it's a little bit harder to get that into mainstream. They taste bad. They're not like they're bizarre almost, you know, people don't have any kind of familiarity with them. So the acupuncture is the part that's become really popular. And we use the acupuncture to treat just about everything that might be annoying to you. So the way I like to think about it is if you're waking up and something isn't feeling well, but you don't have to be rushed to the hospital, chances are Chinese medicine and acupuncture in particular have a treatment for it.
Yeah, there's a, I mean, because, you know, I'll speak. It's really kind of great. I have this whole, like, West meets East philosophy. And a lot of folks who get involved in integrative healthcare just really, we use the word integrative because it sounds cool. But really, let's face it, it's a lot of Western practitioners who are adopting Eastern philosophies because they work. And so we want to really empower patients to be able to understand that they have a lot more capability and understanding than they really honestly give themselves credit for. I often say to my patients, I was just telling Jim before we started this podcast and this Facebook Live, is that, you know, I've told patients, like, you know, I essentially want you to kind of fire me. And not because I'm a bad PA, but because of the fact that you have become so healthy and these conversations that we've had have become so good, that you are so empowered that you just only need to maybe come see me for, you know, yearly checkups, or maybe when you get actually sick and we need to give you, say, a dose of antibiotics or something like that. So it's really great that you're doing that. I actually saw one time, Jim, I saw a really cool, gosh, I don't even remember if it was Discovery Channel or what, but it was like, it just showed Chinese men and women walking into the pharmacy, you know, in China, and they just say, you know, something like, my head hurts and this is going on and this is going on. And the folks back there with the herbs just would make them, like, they get a piece of wax paper.
Yeah.
What, like, different herbs and stuff. How do they do that? Like, how do they know what to use and the ratios and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's amazing. When I worked in a hospital in China, I was in Chengdu, which is the western part of China. In the ward, in the hospital, you know, someone would come in, they'd meet with the equivalent of, I think, like some kind of nurse who would listen to what their issue was and then tell them which ward in the hospital to go to. And if they went and got herbs, they would get a prescription. They'd visit with the doctor who would hear their symptoms, ask some questions, and then write out the formula. And this is based on, again, thousands of years of knowledge that's been passed down and studying formulas. And you can think about them like recipes, you know. Sure. An individual herb would be like giving someone a bag of sugar, and then a full formula is like baking them a cake. So there's more elegance to it. And then they take that formula and they go down to the equivalent of the herbal pharmacy, which is this massive room that has, you know, floor to ceiling herbs everywhere. And 20 minutes later, they've got all these twigs and leaves and berries and stuff in that wax paper, and then they take it home, cook it, and drink the sludge.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. So most of the time, I mean, I guess I just learned something new, is that I thought that they make it into a tea, but I guess they don't do that normally, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, so they would take it home and cook them. So they would cook it in a pot for an hour or 2 hours, and they'd make a tea. There's different ways of making them now. There's some more advanced stuff, and most of the ways – I mean, honestly, since I've been using doTERRA, I don't even really use the Chinese herbs anymore because I think the essential oils are so good. They're so effective, and they transport really easily, and they smell nice. Like, the whole experience of the doTERRA is amazing. So I've really stopped using the Chinese herbs in my practice because I just prefer the doTERRA.
Yeah.
When I was giving them, we'd give them in pill form. So the company will take the raw herbs, make it in a tea, and then they would compress it in pills so that it's easier for the patient to take.
I know. Isn't that weird that we have to actually do that? Like, we've just gotten so used to, like, having our medicines either in, you know, the liquid format if you're a kid versus a capsule format if you're an adult. Here's if I may say something about that, because of the fact that, you know, when we talk about plant-based medicine, essential oils are wonderful because you're getting the large, you know, therapeutic value and therapeutic benefit of the plant itself. But talk to me a little bit, Jim, about, like, full plant-based medicine when it comes to full spectrum and getting, like, the entourage effect of, like, you know, getting all of the bits of the plant rather than just maybe just one or two portions of it instead.
Yeah, the idea is that nature has kind of made everything perfectly for us. And so that's part of what I love about Chinese medicine with the overall theory of Eastern medicine, is that they took a look at nature and said, okay, what's happening in nature might also be happening in us. And so when you see an acupuncturist, we might talk about how someone has too much heat or too much cold or too much damp inside their body. And so they're taking the same principles out of nature and then saying, okay, well, that might also be happening here. And so the focus is on, like, to promote healing is to say, okay, what is the environment that this person is in? And the same thing when it comes to the plant medicine, where if we just try to isolate one active ingredient or one compound, we're missing all of these other flavors that are in the whole plant or the root or the stem or whatever, that, you know, they have this great phrase or this term for it called inactive ingredients. And it's like, no, it's not inactive. You just haven't figured out what it does yet. Yep. You know, there's some part of there that might help assimilation, might help counteract the toxicity. And so that whole approach, it's just like eating whole foods, you know, it just makes more sense than focusing on isolating a specific compound.
Yeah, I mean, like, just basically, like, if I eat an apple, how many times have I been told to eat the whole apple?
Yeah.
Like flesh and everything, because that's going to do a lot more benefit for my body than just simply trying to get the little cute apple slices that have all of that taken off for me, right?
Yeah.
So that's how it works. And so, like, the concept that I have tried to explain to people is that's called the entourage effect, and it's very important that there are so many different vital constituents. Like, we only have scratched the surface probably with plant-based medicine, is that there's so many wonderful terpenes and monoterpenes in there and just so many different other beneficial, you know, compounds that if we try to isolate, then we might be having a problem. So that's why we really like essential oils as well, because they are like typical kind of whole plant-based medicine. They end up actually getting you like the best of those compounds, and those compounds themselves all interact very well. Like, just for example, lemon essential oil, you know, we got limonene in it, but then it has other constituents in it as well that actually enhance the function of limonene. And so, although they may not necessarily taste great, we know that they're good for you. And there's plenty of teas that we can make out of that. So I always loved herbal medicine. And my wife, if you didn't know, is actually an herbalist as well. She actually went back.
Oh.
Yeah, she studied it for 2 years, and now she's teaching me a bunch of things that I absolutely did not know. And
cool.
We have a lot of different things that she's been able to use. So, all right, well, I'm now your patient, if you don't mind, and sure. I'm a bit trepidatious because I've heard that acupuncture involves you poking me with a bunch of needles, and I don't know if that's going to be harmful, helpful, or just a waste of time, if you will. So I'm going to give you the typical classic. Somebody comes in, I have no idea, Mr. Jim, I'm here with, I say back pain, knee pain, and I'm stressed out. So may I ask what you would kind of think about a typical session for me, what you would do for our listeners?
Sure. So the first thing I'm going to do is ask you a bunch of questions. Well, there's always paperwork, so you got to do the paperwork, you know, and then we're going to ask you a bunch of questions. You know, the basic kind of history and intake, when did it start, what happened, what are your symptoms like, all of that. And as you're talking, a lot of times clients now, they'll come in with a Western diagnosis too. They'll be like, well, the doctor says I have a herniated disc, or the doctor says it's tension headaches or whatever. And I care about that because it helps to give me an understanding of what this person's been through. And at the same time, I don't really care about it because I'm trained in this whole entire medical system of Chinese medicine. And so I'm listening to everything that you're saying, and I'm translating that in my head and say, okay, if this was 2000 years ago, what would we be saying about you? You know, and so that helps to meet for me as a licensed acupuncturist to keep this distinction between, you know, I don't want to just be using acupuncture to chase a Western diagnosis. I want to be able to use the full breadth of the wisdom and the history and the lineage of Chinese medicine.
Awesome.
To treat you really, really well. And that's one of the ways, I think that's one of the places that acupuncture really needs to, where our lobbyists need to do a better job of advertising us, is that if people have been given a diagnosis that's difficult or might seem like it's going to go on forever, one of the things that an acupuncturist can do for you is really reframe that. We're going to look at you with new eyes. And so I don't really care what kind of prognosis a Western doctor's given you. Like, I'm not a Western doctor. I'm going to be looking at you with a different lens, you know? Same kind of thing with the doTERRA stuff. I know I keep coming back to it because that's where I met you, but it's like you're introducing new opportunities there for the body to experience that it may not have ever experienced before. So I'm going to be asking you questions. You're going to tell me what's going on. And then eventually I'm going to have you get on the table. When you're on the table, most acupuncturists are going to do two main types of physical exam. The first one is feeling the pulse. And so we're going to feel the pulse on both wrists, and we're going to feel it with different pressure. This is one of the things that's crazy about acupuncture, is that when we're feeling the pulse, it's not just feeling for speed. It's feeling for what we call the quality of the pulse. And so Chinese medicine talks about there's like 32 different types of pulses.
Wow.
My favorite descriptions are one of them is going to feel wiry. And so a wiry pulse feels like a guitar string. So if you've ever felt like it's got clearly defined edges, it almost can feel kind of sharp, like the high E string on a guitar. Another pulse is going to feel slippery. So this is when you feel someone's pulse under three fingers. The description of that is it feels like a pearl in a dish. So when you put a little bit of pressure on the pulse, it'll feel like it rolls out underneath you.
Interesting. Okay.
If you find a woman who's pregnant, who's like 7 or 8 months pregnant, and you feel her pulse, most likely her pulse is going to feel rolling. And that's totally healthy for her. But if I were to feel that in a 19-year-old who's suffering from bloating and chronic digestive issues, then that would be a sign of imbalance there. Okay. So we're feeling the pulse. And then the other diagnosis that we're going to do exam is going to be looking at the tongue. So the tongue also gives us an idea as to how someone's chi or energy is flowing. So the tongue stuff is crazy. I don't have any pictures here now, but a healthy tongue is nice and pink. No cracks. The coating is like thin and white. It just looks really good. And imbalances that we'll see in the tongues look like a crack oftentimes in the middle. Sometimes the tongue is really swollen. There can be huge tooth marks on the side. Sometimes there's a really thick, nasty looking tongue coating. Everything from thick white to yellow. I've even seen black tongue coatings.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the two things. So those are key parts of our assessment that help us to choose which points we need to do for you or for the client.
Okay. So based on then, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm just going to try to keep you on your toes if that's okay. And sure. only in the best of interest for you is that, I don't know, I guess I got a relatively healthy looking tongue and, at least according to you, I guess. And then, I would say that, my pulse is, something that might be consistent with somebody who's in chronic pain,
uh-huh.
Or something like that. So what should I expect? I lay down on your table and what kind of ideas come to mind about how you would start maybe treating me in your office?
Yeah. So the basic premise is that when somebody doesn't feel good, their energy or what we call chi has been blocked. And so we say that when someone's healthy, the chi, there's a lot of it and it flows really easily. So if someone's coming in, usually they're coming in because somebody doesn't feel well, especially if it's the first time. It's rare to have someone come in for the first time and they're just like, everything feels great. I just thought I'd try it out. usually something's hurt. And so I say, okay, where might that blockage be? So it's my job to know the acupuncture points, to be able to take your experience of symptoms, take the information that I feel in the pulse and the tongue, and then of the 360 some odd acupuncture points in the body, it's my job to know where that energy might be stuck for you. Like for instance, someone might have, let's say there's headaches. Someone might think, well, you have headaches, so we got to do just a bunch of needles in your head. Mm-hmm. There are some points in the head that we might do, but some of the best points for headaches are in the hand and in the feet. And so it's kind of the way I like to think about it is there's the meridians. These are pathways through the body where the chi flows. So if you've ever seen a picture of like in Chinatown of the man who's got lines everywhere all mm-hmm. over him, those are the acupuncture meridians. Those are the pathways where the energy flows. And so it's a unified system that explains how energy goes up, down, left and right through the body. And so some of the meridians will go from the feet all the way up to the head. And, so you might be experiencing discomfort in your head, but the place where the energy might be the most stuck is in the feet. And so by putting an acupuncture needle into that point, we're basically clearing away the accident. It's like a tow truck that removes the stagnation. And then once that's removed, all of the energy starts to flow again, where before there was gridlock, now there's movement. And then once there's movement, the body's in a better position to heal itself.
Okay. Awesome. So how many then like sessions, like, I mean, I know everybody's going to be different, but yeah. On average, do you know how many sessions somebody would have to normally undergo for something?
Yeah. So in China, they talk about a course of treatment is 10 visits. And in the hospitals in China, you come in every day or every other day until you felt better. So that's a lot of treatment in a short period of time. Typically in the U.S., we don't treat that way. Part of it is, cost. Part of it is it's just not built into the mentality of people to come in that often. So oftentimes I'll see someone maybe twice a week in the beginning, maybe three times if something is really urgent. So the best course of treatment realistically is going to be twice a week for the first 3 or 4 weeks. And then we like to space it out maybe once a week after that until they're consistently feeling better. Usually my clients will start feeling a lot better after, hopefully after the first treatment, but oftentimes after, two, three, four treatments, obviously it depends on what the rest of their lifestyle is like. If they're overweight, they're not taking care of themselves, they're eating a crappy diet, they have very little support at home, or they're dealing with, you know, loneliness and isolation, they're going to need a lot more treatment to get them into a place of balance. But if everyone else, if they've got a lot of other kind of healthy lifestyle things in place, sometimes just a little bit of treatment is enough to kind of give them that nudge. You know, it's like you clear the accident away, and then assuming there's no more accidents, everything's going to keep flowing really well. Sure. But if someone's living a hard lifestyle, or if they have a relationship that's not going well, or work is tough, it's really easy for the body's energy to get stuck again. So then we have, you know, we keep going through it.
I love that you said that. It's almost like you like read my mind and segued us into the next section, which was, you know, coming back to this magic pill concept again, is that, like, you know, if you are coming to see you and I'm thinking that you can help me fix a problem, then yes, I mean, nutrition is crucial. Let's talk about your stress. Let's talk about how you're sleeping and things like that, because please stop me if I'm wrong, but can't sleep be like a really big, like, you know, what you're talking about? It's a really big block, and it can cause a lot of issues in the body that might need to be addressed with acupuncture.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're not sleeping well, we know that this regulates the hormones in the body, leads to obesity, you know, of course can lead to depression and all sorts of, you know, it also just sucks to be tired all day.
Agreed. And I mean, like, and we know that sleep and stress, the reason why I talk about it, the reason why a lot of integrative health providers talk about it, is because they're pretty much very correlated. Yeah. You know, like sleep will usually increase your stress, and then because of the stress being increased, you reduce and you don't get as good a quality restorative sleep as you can.
If they start adding substances where they're starting to self-medicate with coffee in the morning, and then coming home and they need to have some alcohol or something that's a bit of a downer to counteract the caffeine they've been drinking all day, you know, then you just keep going into that loop, and, you know.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. And there's unfortunately a lot of folks that might be actually listening to this podcast right now who they need the coffee to pick themselves up, and then they need that. They need something to slow them down at night. And And that's why it's also extremely important. I just did I'm doing a class right now about 16 different ways to reduce your stress, because.
Nice.
Yeah, if you don't have a way of reducing your stress, let's face it, sleep will constantly elude you. All right, we'll go ahead and stop it right there for this week, but please catch part two of my interview with Jim Rohr, a licensed acupuncturist out of the state of New York, and we are really going to dive into some other great things next week. We're going to continue to talk about ways that you can improve your health, what acupuncture is all about, and some really great ways to be able to improve your health and wellness. So please stay tuned. Part two is coming to you next week. Take care now, and we will see you again then. Bye-bye.